All right, we're beginning here at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, right after the Mishnah. The Mishnah was discussing the issue of Mulin versus Arelim, and then the Mishnah digressed into Agadato with regards to Milah, and Agadato with regards to Orla, the reference of Orla and the negative associations of Orla, versus the Ma'alot, or the greatness of Milah, and the Mishnah brought down a numerous sayings by the Tanaim with regards to Milah. One of those comments had to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. Milah is so great, Shelo Nitlalo the Moshe Tzadik, Alea Filu Melo Sha'ah. That Milah was so great that Moshe Rabbeinu was not spared even for a moment because he had tarried to be Mikayim, the mitzvah of Milah. That's what the Gemara is about to discuss, that issue, which really references Sukkim that are found at the end of Perek Dalet in Sefer Shmot, when Moshe Rabbeinu is traveling back to Mitzrayim at the behest of Hashem to take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim and to speak to Paro. And over there we have one of the most, if not the most, enigmatic psukim in the Torah. Very difficult to understand. There's very little context given for the psukim themselves. There are a lot of ambiguous terms that are used there, as well as pronouns where the antecedent of the pronoun is very unclear. And based on that, it makes it difficult to understand the psukim, and the Gemara here is going to give its explanation or its version or view of these psukim, but I'm going to read them to you, the three psukim, which are very difficult psukim. Vahiba derech b'malon, vayivkasheu Hashem, vayivakesh hamito, vatikach tzipora atzor, ותכרות את עורלת בנה, ותגע לרגליו. ותאמר, כי חתן דמים אתה לי, וירף ממנו, אז אמרה חתן דמים למולות. So you have these three psukim that are mentioned over here. The only hints that we have is one that Hashem wants to kill. The reason is not clear at all. We know that Tzipora goes ahead and takes a sharp object and cuts off the orla, the foreskin of her child, and throws it, l'raglav, again here is one of those terminologies where we don't know whose raglayim we're talking about. Atomer, ki chatan damim atali, again over there it's unclear who the chatan is. And vayrif mimenu, and he released him, who the him is unclear. As amra chatan damim lamulot, and again the chatan damim lamulot, it's unclear who the chatan is. So the psukim are very, very unclear. The Gemara here is going to build a picture based on those psukim as to what transpired over there. Tanya Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer, Gdola Mila, Shekoz Chuyot Shasa Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Amdu Lo, Kishnit Rashel Mila Mila. That so great is the mitzvah of Mila, or so important is the mitzvah of Mila, that all the merits of Moshe Rabbeinu did not stand to protect him. In the moment where he, Nitrashel, he was weakened, or tarried, or delayed in accomplishing the mitzvah of Milah. Shenemar, because it says in the psukim, and this is the opening of those psukim, Vahiba derech b'malon, Vayifkisheyu Hashem, Vayivakesh hamito. That Hashem meets him and wants to kill him. Again, it's not clear in the psukim why he wants to kill him. Here the Gemara is saying it has to do with the mitzvah of Milah, that nitrashel min hamilah, that Moshe Rabbeinu did something that weakened his taking care of the mitzvah of Milah. Amar Rabbi Chas v'Shalom Moshe Rabbeinu Yitrashel min Amilah. Can't be that Moshe Rabbeinu would forsake any mitzvah, or that he would be lax in the accomplishment of any mitzvah. Elakach Amar, but he rather he had a logic to what he was saying. Amul ve'etzei sakanahi. If I give him a milah and then I go and travel, it's dangerous for him. Shenamar, pasuk says by Shechem, after the people of Shechem agree to the plan of Shimon and Levi, or whether it's the plan of all the brothers there, to have them have a brit milah, vahi bayom ha-shilishi, on the third day, biotam koavim, when they were in pain. As the Ran points out, that the third day is no more painful than the first day. Probably the first day was even more painful, but it's the cumulative effect of the 3 days. That's what makes the third day the most difficult day in terms of the recovery. It's not because of the acuteness of the pain on that day, but rather the cumulative effect of the preceding days. The third day is the worst day. But we see that there's a certain amount of pain and danger associated with Milah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to give his son a Milah and then to begin on a long journey to Mitzrayim. emol v'shehe shlosha yamim. So what I'll do instead is I'll give my son a milah, and then I will delay my trip by 3 days. Kadosh Baruch Hu amar li leich shuv Mitzrayim. Hashem already told me that I have to go back to Mitzrayim. I'd be violating the command of Hashem or the request of Hashem for me to return to Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu did not feel that it was proper for him to give a milah, a brit milah, to his son because of the dangers of the journey and because of the pressing need that Hashem had impressed upon him, the need to return to Mitzrayim to help out the people that are there. Elohim pnei ma'an enash Moshe. If Moshe had such a good argument and it was logical what he did, why was he then penalized or punished over here? Mipnei shnitasek b'malon tchila. So there is the other part of that pasuk, vahi baderech b'malon. So when he got to the quote-unquote hotel, he dealt with the matters of the hotel first. And that's why he was punished at that time. Shnemar vahi baderech b'malon. And since he dealt with the issues of the malon instead of the milah at first, that's what Moshe was punished for, because he should have dealt with his son's milah at that time. Now, why should he have dealt with his son's milah at that time if he's still in the direction or traveling towards Mitzrayim? So both Rashi over here says, Voto malon samuch to Mitzrayim, and the Ran reiterates that as well, that the hotel or this lodging was very close to Mitzrayim. So at that point in time, either he was so close to Mitzrayim that he did not need to take his family any further, they could have stayed there, or the small journey from there to Mitzrayim would not have been problematic for the baby. So at that point, his excuse of not giving the milah because of the danger of the travel no longer was valid, and he should have given him a brit milah. In addition, Rashi over here notes, Voto hatinok that was the day that the child was actually 8 days old. And that's why it was so important that he give him the milah, because then it would be milah bizmana. But if he tarried any longer, and it came to nightfall, and after he dealt with the lodging issues, then the baby would be past the eighth day. So there was a significant amount of pressure and significance to doing the milah on that day. And when Moshe took care of the needs in terms of the lodging first, that was incorrect in terms of priorities. And because of that, he was punished, and Hashem wants to hamito, to kill him. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo de Moshe Rabbeinu bikesh satan laharog, elo loto tinok. Whether it's the satan or the oto malach that wanted to kill Moshe, it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu that he wanted to kill, but rather the baby itself. Shenemar, ki chatan adamim atali. Because you are a chatan of blood for me. The person speaking in this situation seems to be Tzipora. Then the secondary question is, who is the chatan damim? And the truth is that it could be either Moshe Rabbeinu or it could be the child itself. Here the Gemara assumes that Seyure mikarui chatan, who is called the chatan of Yomer Zatinok. The Gemara here takes it for granted that it is the baby that is called the chatan damim. And Yerushalmi, it's brought down as a machloket as to who the chatan damim is. And therefore, you have two interpretations of the psukim based on whether the chatan damim is referencing to Moshe Rabbeinu or whether it's referring to the baby. And the same is true in terms of vayivakesh lahamito, that he wanted to kill him. To kill whom? Was it to kill Moshe or is it to kill the baby? And the two are probably parallel in terms of who is the chatan damim. Now, as to why he's called the Chatan Tamim, or why it's so clear to the Gemara that the baby is called the Chatan Tamim, the Rosh over here says, Shemit Chatnin Oto B'mitzvah Rishona. Because through that, I would use the word here, the Chatan means to inaugurate. You inaugurate him in his first mitzvah, the mitzvah of Milah, and that's why he's the one that is called the Chatan in this instance. The Ran, on the other hand, brings down that the chatan, shenaseh chatan ayidei habrit, that because he becomes the groom by the means or the vehicle of the brit milah of the covenant. I mean, at this point, he's entering into a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he becomes a chatan through the brit milah or the covenant for the brit milah, then he becomes a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why the term chatan is properly applied to the tinok. And that's why the Gemara here thinks that the Chatan Damim Atali is referencing the Tinok rather than Moshe Rabbeinu. Tzipora's statement about Kichatan Atam Mimata Li, the interpretation there might have to do with who was trying to be killed. So even if the Satan or the Malach here is trying to kill Moshe Rabbeinu, when Tzipora says to the baby, Kichatan Dami Matali, means that you are the one that is causing Damim to be spilled, in one sense, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be killed. Or Kichatan Damim Atali can reference the baby himself, which is that through the Dam Milah, that he became a Chatan, Damim Atali. But there's a play on the Damim, which is that the baby would have lost his life if it weren't for the fact that Tzipora had given him a Brit Milah. You're right, the baby himself is not at fault here. The baby himself is not subject to the punishment, but we know that Tanim, or especially Tanei Tanim, many times are punished by Avon of the Horim, of the parents. And therefore, yes, it wasn't the baby's fault, but the lack of Milah in the baby then makes him subject to that punishment because of the failures of the parents. The Gemara is interpreting it over here, which is the beginning statement. How great is the mitzvah of Milah that all the zchuyot of Moshe Rabbeinu could not stand to protect the baby or Moshe Rabbeinu in this instance, depending which one you think is the one that's subject to the death penalty. Even in the face of all these great things that he had done or was going to do, the mitzvah of Milah is so powerful and so fundamental to the faith that the lack or the laxity in the performance of the mitzvah of Milah was subject to a very severe punishment. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda bar Bizna, b'shash nitvashel Moshe Rabbeinu min ha-Milah, ba'u af v'chema ublu. Along came anger and ahat, temper, ublu, and they swallowed him up. V'lo yishayru mimenu el raglav. And after they had swallowed him up, all that was left out were his legs. Now whether here raglav means literally his legs were sticking out, or raglav here means a euphemism for the makom ha-Milah, which is what indicated to Tzipora what needed to be done, or what the problem was. So this was a sense, siman, as to what the issue was. Miad, as a response right away, Vatikach Tzipora Tzur, Vatichrot et Orlat Bina. She takes a sharp stone, and she cuts off the foreskin of her son. Miad, Vayirif Mimenu. At that moment, Vayirif means that he released him, he loosened his grip on him, that he let Moshe go. Voto Sha'a Bikesh Moshe Rabbeinu Lehorgan. At that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to destroy the Af and the Chema for what they did to him. Shenemar, Heref Me'af Vazov Chema. It's as if God is saying to Moshe, let go of the Af, leave alone the Chema, even though you want to kill them, I'm telling you to let them be. V'yeshumrim, and there are some that say that he was successful, the Chema Hargo, that he killed Chema. Shenemar, Chema ain li, the pasuk in Yeshayahu says that Chema was not there any longer. V'haktiv, is that really true? Doesn't it say later on in Sefer Dvarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is describing the Cheta Egel, he says that they are worshipping of the Egel caused Hashem to be very angry. Ki yagorti mipnei ha'af v'chema. I was taken aback by the anger and the tremendous rage of Hashem that was coming towards me. But you see, Af and Chema still exist at that point in time. Mar says, Trei Chema Havu. There are two types of Chema. And therefore, one Chema Moshe Rabbeinu was successful at killing. But the other Chema still existed afterwards. V'yibaitema Gunda de Chema. We're talking about the Chayo, the assistants, or the army of Chema still existed. But Chema itself was killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chema and Af are seen by Moshe Rabbeinu as being the Satan or the Malach, or basically the instigators and those that tempt other people and push them towards doing the wrong thing, Mesit u'meidiach, as we would call them. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu wants to rid the world of these, the Af and the Chema. And Hashem steps in to say that it's not a good idea, that Moshe Rabbeinu should not do that. Heref, release them or let them go. Some say that he was successful at taming or killing the Chema, but that doesn't mean that there aren't multiple ways for the Satan to get to the individual. So even though he was able to or successful at killing or removing one of the Chema, there was still Chema that existed, meaning that there's still plenty of things that the Satan can do in order to entrap the individual or the Yetzer Hara that can work on the individual. And here Marsha says that when Moshe wanted to kill Afchema, Bamar Shibikesh Moshe L'Organ, I know, the Vatel Kochan, was to take away their strong power, Ayadei Milat Bino. Through the Milah of his son, he would somehow deem them impotent, She Yafridan Mimenu, because that would release him, that would release him from their grip. All that you're doing over here is not going to reduce their power. That it's not enough simply to do a brit milah. It's not simply enough to do good. But rather, you have to be sur meirah. Chaim Shmulevitz says in the Sichut Musar, says that there's an important thing. It's not enough that a person is aseh tov, that a person does good, but a person also has to be harchek min hara, to distance himself from that which is evil and that which is bad. And that might be what Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu based on what the Marsha is saying over here, which is Moshe Rabbeinu feels that the afen chema will be weakened by the fact that the milah is done, and that will somehow rid himself of these problematic types of yetzer hara that would come and cause the individual to sin or to do the wrong thing. And Hashem says that's not enough. Not enough that one is aseh tov, you have to do sur meira. Person has to remove the wrong and remove that which is bad. Just being aseh tov and doing the milah is not going to suffice for one to protect themselves from the yetzer hara. Person has to take an active engagement in removing the yetzer hara and fighting against the yetzer hara and not just say aseh tov, because unfortunately, and Rav Chaim Shulamitz talks about the ability or the complexity of an individual where Ra and Tov can coexist. That a person can also be doing good and still be doing bad at the same time, and that they do coexist within the individual. And therefore, the only way to protect against doing that which is wrong is to Sur Meira, to remove the bad, not simply to do Aseh Tov and just to do good. So that, based on the Marsha, might be the explanation of what's being said over here in terms of the Af and the Chema. Now, to your question with regards to Vatikach Tzipora Tzur Vatichotet Olat Bina, that leads to discussion, not in the Gemara here, but the Gemara in other places discusses this. It's a Machloket Tanaim as to whether a woman can effectuate a Milah or can perform the mitzvah of Milah. And then, La Locha, it is somewhat unclear, which is that La Locha simply states that a woman should not do the Milah, but if a woman does do the Milah, seemingly it is effective in creating the milah. So there are those that suggest that the mitzvah of milah is really comprised of two components. Rav Soloveitchik spoke about this a lot, that there is the maaseh mitzvah, there's the action of doing the mitzvah of milah, and there's also a separate part of the mitzvah of milah, which is the chalut shem mahul, that the individual, after they have a milah, after the orla is removed from them, they now become a mahul, they become part of Klal Yisrael, and through that they get the shem Israel and Kedushat Israel that is associated with them. And there are a number of things that indicate that that's true. One of those is the fact that we make two brachot when we do the mitzvah of milah. One is ala mitzvah milah, which is the bracha which is seemingly on the maaseh milah. And we have a separate bracha, is lachniso bibito shel Avraham Avinu, which seems to deal with the chalut shame of the mahul. And so what is suggested by some individuals to explain the role of the woman, which is that the woman may not be able to accomplish the mitzvah of milah, which is the active mitzvah of milah, she's unable to accomplish, she's unable to do, but what she can do is create the chalut shem mahul, that once the foreskin is removed, she's able to accomplish that the child now has a shem mahul on it. And by doing that, you can somehow bifurcate the din with regards to a woman, that she has the ability to create one side of it and not the other side of the milah, and that's why we preferred that the woman doesn't do the milah, because the maaseh mitzvah is not associated with her, as the Gemara suggests. Only those that are commanded in the mitzvah of milah can perform the mitzvah of milah. That might have to do with the active mitzvah of removing the orla. With regards to the chalut shem milah, or the shem mahul that is given to the baby through the performance of the mitzvah of milah, that might be able to be accomplished even by a woman. And that's why, like here, where Tzipora acted, she's able to do at least a portion of it. She may not have been able to actually do the maaseh mitzvah milah, but she's able to get the baby to now have a shem mahul. And that would be a way to reconcile the discussion about whether a woman does have or does not have the ability to perform the mitzvah of milah. All right, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Gdola milah, she'en chamish nitasek v'mitzvot ka'avram avinu. There's nobody who engaged in mitzvot like Avram Avinu. Lo nikra tamim. He was not called whole. Ela ad shem milah. Until he reached the point where he got the mitzvah of milah. Shenemar hitalech lefanai v'yetamim. Kuchtiv. And the subsequent pasuk says, v'etna briti b'ni uvenecha. So this opening pasuk in Perek Yud Zayin and then the subsequent pasuk say that Hashem says to Avram Avinu, go before me and be tamim. What is the tamim or the tmimut that now will be associated with Avram Avinu? It's the next pasuk, which is v'etna briti b'ni uvenecha. This is the covenant that I am going to have between us, and that covenant is the brit milah. So you see that the word tamim or wholeness is associated with the mitzvah of milah. Davar acher, gdola milah sheshkula keneged kol mitzvot shebetorah. That it's equivalent to all the mitzvot of the Torah. Shenemar ki al pi advarim ha'ila. We discussed this in the Mishnah, and we saw that there were two ways to learn this in the Mishnah. In Shmot, Perek Lamed Dalet, which is at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, there is another description of the Bnei Yisrael at the foot of Har Sinai, at Mamad Har Sinai, it's Machloket Rishonim, as to whether this took place prior to Matan Torah, or this took place after Matan Torah. The Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, believe it happened after Matan Torah, whereas Rashi believes that it happened before Matan Torah. But over there it talks about the covenant by which Bnei Yisrael entered into with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's actually where the very famous phase of Naseh V'Nishma is mentioned, not in Shmot, Perek Yutet, in Yitro, before Matan Torah. It's actually here in the Shmot Perek Lamed Dalet afterwards where they say Naseh V'Nishma. Part of that covenant, there is blood that is sprinkled, and the word brit, covenant, is used over there. And it says, ki al pi advarim eile, al pi advarim eile, where it says it's talking about the Torah. The covenant is being made about the Torah, and the word brit is written over there. So the association between ki al pi advarim eile and the word brit, which we assume refers to brit milah, that tells us that there is an equation of equivalence between the Torah kula and the brit milah. And again, that can be learned in one of two ways. That's either because the word brit is used, and we assume when the word brit is used, that brit means brit milah, and there's some sort of a gadik gezerah shavu about brit, and the brit that the covenant they're mentioning there is associated with brit milah, and that's how you get it. Or the fact that there was damim that was sprinkled over there, even though it's not the dam habrit, but because there's dam, and the dam is associated with the word brit, so we say that that's a reference to Brit Milah. When they entered into the covenant with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we know that there are three things a ger, when he converts, he has to do. The paradigm for that is the Jews, or Bnei Yisrael, at Har Sinai, and you're nichnas the Brit, be Brit Milah, be Kabbalat O Mitzvot, and with the bringing of a Korban, which is part of the Hartzat Damim, as well as the going to the Tvilah, going to the Mikveh. So you see there's a connection here between the covenant, or entering into the covenant with God, and Brit Milah, and Al Pi HaDvarim Eileh, which is referencing to the Torah Kula, to the mitzvah of the Torah. Devar acher, gdola milah, shilmalei milah, lo nitkaimu shamayim v'aretz. Again, we saw this in the Mishnah. Were it not for the mitzvah of milah, then the world would not be kayam. Shnemar, im lo briti, yomam v'layla, hukot shamayim v'aretz, lo samti. If it was not for my covenant, day and night, meaning the covenant of the milah, again here the word brit is referencing to brit milah, then chukot shemayim v'aretz lo samti, I wouldn't have put the way of the world, the laws of nature, the shemayim v'aretz in place. We see that the mitzvah of milah is mitzkayim, the teva, or the world as it is. Pliga de Rabbi Elazar, this argues on the statement of Elazar, damar Rabbi Elazar, gdola Torah, the Torah is so great, shimalei Torah lo nitkaimu shemayim v'aretz. Were not for the Torah, then the heavens and earth would not stand. Shneamar, im lo briti yomam v'layla, chukot shemayim v'aretz lo samti. So again here, the briti yomam v'layla is the covenant with Bnei Yisrael. It goes back to that again in Shmot Perek Lamed Daled. The covenant over there is between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem, which is through the Torah. So if it were not for that covenant of the Torah, then the world would not exist. So you have both interpretations there of Briti Yomam V'layla, whether Briti Yomam V'layla is Brit Milah or it's Torah Kula. But even in that, where they argue about the meaning over there, it also corroborates what we said before, which is that Brit Milah is keneged kol haTorah kula, because the two options of what Briti Yomam V'Layla are either Brit Milah or the Torah kula. So therefore, you see that equation of equivalence again. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, B'shash Amar Lo Kodesh Baruch Hu Ma'av Ravino Italech Lefanai Ve'e Tamim, Achzato Ra'ada. He was trembling. He was overcome with fear. Amar Shema Yesh Bi Davar Miguneh. Maybe there's something untoward, something that of a negative nature that is associated with me, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of a sudden says, Ve'yeh Tamim, and now you will be whole. Now you'll be whole implies that until this point, you weren't whole, or that there was something missing in this individual. And we're not talking about some sort of physical missing over here. He's talking about spiritually, or somehow that he was defiled in some way, where now Hashem is coming to him and saying that you need to take care of this issue. Kevin Shamar Lo, after Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Vet na briti beni uvenecha, that I will have my covenant between us, nitkarara dato. He was relieved at that point in time. He felt at ease because now he realized that it wasn't something that he had done or something negative, but rather a mitzvah that Hashem was about to give him. And that mitzvah would give a shleimut to Avram Avinu that he didn't have before. And that's what the Tamim is speaking about over here. Yotzeu to achutza, Shem takes Avram Avinu outside. This is a very famous Midrash Chazal. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, hiztakalti b'mazal sheli. I looked up at the constellations. I looked up at what was going to be for me, what's decreed according to the way of the world. Ve'ein li ela ben echad, I only have one child, or the other girsa that is off the river, any ro'ui lo lead ben, I don't have the capability to have a child, and therefore, what's my hope? You're making me all these promises, but how could it be that you're making these promises? I looked up, I'm an expert in astrology, and I see that none of this is going to be true. My mazal just does not indicate that. Amar lo, tzei mi itagninut shelcha, Shem says, leave your astrology behind, ein mazal Yisrael. Israel is not governed by mazal. Spoken about this in other contexts, not as simple as what the Gemara says over here, because we have the Gemara at the end of Shabbat, which seems to indicate that there is Mazal to Israel, and so the Rishonim have various answers about how to reconcile between the Gemarot, like here, that say Ein Mazal to Israel, versus the Gemara at the end of Shabbat, and other places which seem to indicate that there is Mazal to Israel. Let us say that in general, Bnei Yisrael are somewhat independent of Mazal. They're not simply governed by the way of the world. But according to Tosafot, it's not easy to break that pattern. It takes an extreme effort or some unusual event or an unusual individual to break the mazal, but it is possible. And there are others, like the Me'iri, who say that wholeheartedly, ain mazal to Israel. There is no such thing as mazal to Israel. And anybody who tells you otherwise was misled by the Gemaras or misinterpretation of the Gemaras, or even maybe some of the Amoraim were misled in this way. And there is wholeheartedly and fully ain't mazal to Yisrael. So we know we have opinions across the spectrum with regards to this, but Hashem basically says to Avram Avinu, you're stuck, because you're stuck in your ways. You got to step away from it. Now, what's interesting here, the comment made over here, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kolam metamim atzmo, anybody who makes himself whole with Hashem, kodesh baruch hu matmim imo, Hashem is also whole with him. I would say that this is like a reference to the pasuk that is found, Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Akecha, that you should be wholesome and reliant on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And in that context, the Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Akecha is juxtaposed to the restrictions against Lo Te'onunu, Lo Te'nachashu, all the Ksamim, Lo Te'chashef, all of these things where we're dealing with the superstitions, divining, and all these other methodologies that are used in order to figure out what's going to happen in the future or to guide the individual's actions. That is in contrast to Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha, to be simply reliant on a Kodesh Baruch Hu and to have emunah that Hashem is going to do what's right and lead us down the proper path. So over here it says, Kol HaMatmim Atzmo, anybody who makes himself whole or reliant on a Kodesh Baruch Hu Matmim Mimo, Hashem is, again, wholesome, or takes that as a zchut for the individual. Shneamar, im chasid tit chasad, im gibor tamim tit tamam. And with an individual who is tamim, Hashem is also tamim. So you see this idea of what we'll call midah keneged midah. So now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Shaya kol amatzmim atzmo sha'a omedet lo. Any person who is wholly reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as emunah in Hashem, sha'a omedet lo. Time is in his favor. Nemar italech lefanai v'yetamim tiv v'yita l'av hamon goyim. You see that the one who is tamim, in the end he becomes av hamon goyim. So sha'a omedet lo means that things go well for him. Things work out for him. That's what happened for Avram Avinu. When he was tamim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he's v'yita l'av hamon goyim. And now here you see the contrast, similar to what I mentioned before, which is Amar Rabbi Levi, kol menachesh, that a person who divines, then lo nachash. Shnemar, klo nachash biyakov. Can I ask the obvious question? V'haba lamed aleph k'tiv. You're confusing things. Over there you said, kol menachesh lo nachash. So that any person who is involved in nichush, then lo nachash. Then the nichush follows him or it catches up with him. See, the Rosh says, man de kapid, kapdei behadei. One who's makpid on these issues, one who's careful about these issues or takes to heart these issues, then those issues will impact him. And then we say, ki lo nachash biyakov. For him, divining will affect him. Gemara says, the lo that you're trying to explain is different than the lo of the Torah. The lo of the Torah is the Lamed Aleph, which says that it's not. And you're saying that it is. Ela, mishom midah keneged midah. So what the Gemara says here, that it's basically a tit for tat, it's quid pro quo, that if an individual acts in this way, Kadosh Baruch Hu reflects that behavior back to them. And therefore, if a person is minachesh, then if he's makpid on that, then it will be makpid on him, and it will come after him. So if a person is minachesh, then that nichush will take on significance for that individual. A person who is tamim in Hashem will not have that issue. Tani, ava breid Rabbi Zeira kol adam shenu minachesh. Any person who does not engage in nichush, machnisin oto b'mechitza, he enters into a place in Shemayim, shafilu malachei asheret en yocholim nekanes b'tocha. Gets to a place in heaven where even the malachim can't enter, shenemar. Because the pasuk says by Bil'am, k'lo nachash b'yakov, v'lo kesem b'yisrael. What is the gadlut of Klal Yisrael? That they don't engage in nichush, v'lo kesem, and not in, whether it's divination or magic, all these other things that people use to try to determine the future or to help them with decisions. The pasuk continues, k'eit yamer li'akov uli Yisrael ma'pal kel. So it says that it will be told to Yaakov and to Israel what God is doing. So the malachim are going to come to ask Klal Yisrael what Hashem is doing because they have inside information. How do they have inside information? Because they are closer to God than even the malachim are. Why is that? Yelo nachash b'Yaakov, lo kesem b'Yisrael. Because they do not engage in nichush. And again, as I mentioned before, the Gemara here, which juxtaposes the two different paths that an individual can take, which one is tamim, one is nichush, is also borne out by that same juxtaposition in the psukim, both in Sefer Vayikra as well as in Sefer Dvarim, regards to tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha, versus the restrictions of lo tenachashu v'lo te'onenu, not involved in kishuf, and all these other types of, call them black magic or divination, which a person is in some way trying to search for answers to both his future or what the future brings him. Those are all the opposite of being tamim, tiyayim Hashem Elokecha, is to solely rely on Hashem and to believe that Hashem will take us down the right path and that one looking into the future will not help them out in that way. And as the Ran says over here, toch she'enu olech likrat nechashim, le'da'at tidot, a person doesn't engage in nechashim to know what's going to happen in the future, le'boteach ba'kodesh baruch hu. He relies and believes in Hashem, mishum hachi, ha'kodesh baruch hu megala lo razei olam. Hashem reveals to him the secrets of the world, she'enam gluim le'malachei asherit, that are not appearing to malachei asherit. Again, I would say it's a midah keneged midah. This person solely relied on HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when he didn't know the future. Therefore, Hashem will reward him in the future that he will know the future and that he will have this inside information, something the malachei asherit would not have. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mipnei ma ne'anash Avram Avinu, v'nishtabdu banav le'mitzrayim 210 shanim. Why was Avram Avinu punished? And his children were sent into subjugation in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Because he put the Talmidei Chachamim to work, or basically he sent them out to war. that he armed his kanichav, his trainees, those that were a part of his household. So here the assumption being that the word chanich or chinuch, but these are individuals that Avram Avinu had taught Torah to, and therefore they were talmidei chachamim, and now he engages them to fight for him against the four kings. Rather, it's because the word he frees is used in the Gemara many times to mean to exaggerate or to be something of crazy proportion. So this is the same thing over here. Is that he asked incessantly or overly questioned the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem promises him the land and all the other things that he promises him, Avram turns around and says, how do I know? Or how do I know I will inherit it? And therefore, they view that as being something negative, that Avram Avinu questioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to him, and that was a lack of faith by Avram Avinu in that instance. The other possibility of what the word Hifriz means over here, the Ran says, Lashon of Vitur Vehefker. He gave up or discounted the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he didn't rely on what Hashem said fully. So he somehow was denigrating, in a sense, the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by not believing him. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shifrish Bnei Adam in the Kanes Tachat Kanfei Shekhinah, that he prevented people from coming under the wing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shnemar, Tenli HaNefesh, Faruchush, Kachlach, that Melech Sdom says to Avram Avinu after he saves the people in the city, says to him, listen, you give me the people, the Melech Sdom says, and you guys keep all the money. That's fine. In the end, Avram refuses to take the money, but he also lets him keep the people. So that's a critical of Avram Avinu, that he let the people stay with Melech Sdom instead of take them under his wing. So now over here you have three different reasons brought as to why Bnei Yisrael went into Galut, as the Rosh points out over here. Afopi Shavirat Onish Mifureshet, that it's clear why he was punished. Al Omro Bameda Kirasheno, because that after that Psukim comes Brit Ben Abtarim, and in Brit Ben Abtarim is described the Galut in Mitzrayim. So the Rosh sees that as being Pashtut of the Perush of the Torah, that the punishment came because of Bameda Kirasheno. Truthfully, if you look in the Psukim, it's not so clear, and it's not so obvious that that's the case, but the Rosh thinks that that's the case. So he says that it's a double Avera. Avram did this Avera. This Avera caused him to also do the Avera of Ameh Adei Kirishenu, which was more Chamur, and that resulted in the Galut down to Mitzrayim. So he said it's like a domino effect, or Avera Goret or Avera. That's the way that the Rosh explains over here what it means, or why are we explaining the Onesh of Avram Avinu if it's so obvious that what the Onesh of Avram Avinu was based on the way that the Rosh is reading the Sukkim. So then the Gemara now continues and says, Vayreket Chanichav Yilidei Beito. Rav Amar Shorikan B'Torah. That, again here, the interpretation of the word Horikan is not clear. The Ran actually brings two interpretations of the word Horikan. One is Zarzan B'Torah, that he engaged them, like the Rosh says over here, Zarzan B'Schuta Torah, that he got them ready and prepared them through the Schut of the Torah. And the way Rashi says it is Limdam Torah, that he taught them Torah. That's one possibility. Or there's the other side, which is a more negative view of it, which is Lashon Vaborek Jasabin Angaria, that he stripped them or he emptied them of Torah by sending them out to battle or sending them out to war. That's the two possibilities of Horikan. Moran Shorikan Bizahav. That, again, you could use either interpretation over here. Zirzan Bizahav. He encouraged them to go do it with gold, meaning he paid them to go out to battle on his behalf. Or Horikan Bizahav, he emptied out his treasuries in order to pay these individuals to encourage them to go to war with him. Now it says, Shmonasar Ushlosh Meot, the Gematria of Eliezer is 318, Reish is 200, the Ayin is 70, the Lamed is 30, that makes it 300. And then you have the Yud Zayin is 317, and the Aleph makes it 318. Amar Rabbi Amar Ba'ava, Eliezer Keneged Kulam. Why? Over here, when we talk about Shmonasar Shlosh Meot, that number of individuals who Avram Avinu took to battle with him, what's the significance of that number? So the first opinion, Ariami Bar Ava, says it's because Eliezer was equated or equal to those 318 individuals. Igadamre Eliezer who Duchush B'nei Hachiava. The 318 were not 318 people, rather it was Eliezer himself, because the gematria of his name was 318. Amar Rabbi Ami Bar Ava Ben Gimel Shanim Hikir Avraham et Boro. At 3 years old, Amram Avinu came to the recognition and the realization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bikuli, because Avraham Avinu listened to my voice. Chushpanei, the gematria of Ekev is 172, Me'av Eshivim V'Tartin, and we know that Avraham Avinu lives 175 years. Ekev Asher Shema Bikuli, he listened to my voice for 172 out of 175 of those years. That means that he came to the recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu at the age of 3. There are other midrashim that contradict this and say that it was at the age of 48 that he came to that realization of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Rambam has the formulation that it's at the age of 40. The Raivod criticizes the Rambam Shita from our Gemara over here. The most likely answer is that it was a process, that Avraham Avinu's recognition of Hashem maybe at a more simplistic level began when he was very young and became more developed as he got older, or even not saying it in that way, not just about maturity and maturity of thinking, but simply the development of this idea took time. It began, or the seeds for the idea began at 3, and they finally came to fruition when he got older. But that here, at least the Gemara over here, has that side of the explanation, being that Avraham Avinu came to that realization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the age of 3. V'amar Rami Bar Ava, HaSatan B'chush B'nei, Tlatma B'shitin V'arba. The Satan, HaSatan, in Gematria is 364, you have the Shin is 300, you have the Nun is 50, and then the Hey and Ted is 14, that's 364, which is Keneged Yemot HaChama, is Keneged the days of the solar year, 365 days. The Satan is granted the right during 364 of those days to attack and to try to cause people to sin. The one day that's left out is the day of Yom HaKippurim, where the Satan doesn't have the power over Klal Yisrael, whether that's because he's not given the power, or because of the way that Bnei Yisrael conduct themselves like Malachim and Yom HaKippurim, they are protected from the Satan. V'amarami Barava Ktiv Avram, Uchtiv Avraham. That when it comes to Avram's name, his name was changed from Avram to Avraham. Tchila im licho HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-matayim v'arba'im u'shlosha evarim. In the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in charge of 243 of his limbs. That is the gematria of Avram. Reish 200, Mem is 40. Shin Aleph and Bet is 3, 243 Evarim. Ubelesov, Imlichu al-matayim v'arba'im u'shmone Evarim. In the end, he got all 248. That's with the addition of the letter Hey, gets him to 248, which is the Ramach Evirav of an individual, the 248 limbs of the individual. Elohein. What are the 5 that were added to Avraham when his name was increased from Avram to Avraham? Shtei Einayim, the 2 eyes. Shtei Oznayim, the 2 ears. Rosh HaGvia, and the Milah. And that's what the Ran explains over here. Aval, Einav, Ve'oznav Shel Adam, Einam Birshuto. They're not fully in his control. Shari Al Kocho Yireh Be'einav. Because a person sees, even if he doesn't want to see. Ube'oznav Yishma. And he hears, even if he doesn't want to hear. Ulik sov kishinimo. After he got the Brit Milah, himlichu HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleilu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu given the power to even overcome these. Shelo yistakel v'lo yishma. That he won't look and he won't listen. Ki im bedvar mitzvah. Except for the purposes of a mitzvah. As the Tosafot says over here, shemitzvot mefachot et ha'einayim v'oznayim. That the mitzvot enlighten or make wiser the individual's eyes and oznaim in his ears. So the idea of the Brit Milah, if we take the Brit Milah, which is in the location, which involves probably the most base instinct of animal, which is the ability to reproduce, and that all animals do in that manner, in mankind, having a Milah in that area, which is one of the most basic and base drives of the individual, shows that Kedusha can be brought even to those areas, and even to those actions. Once we've demonstrated, or we have the power of Milah, which shows us that we have the ability to be Mikadesh, even the thing that's most Chumriyot, the most Gashmiyot, that also gave the person the ability to control his eyes and his ears, the other areas which deal with the parts of the individual, which are not necessarily in his control. And as the Rosh says over here, that the Einayim and the Oznayim are Heim Misarsim Be'Avira. Those are the things that are the seekers of sin, or those things that search out sin, and they're not given into the hands of man. And Rosh says it's specific to Abraham that was given over to his hands. I think that the Gemara is implying that it's a broader context of the mitzvah of Milah. It changes the dynamic of man's ability to overcome these issues or these base instincts of the individual. V'amar Rami Brava, my dichtiv. What is meant by the pasuk in Kohelet? Ir ktana ve'anashim v'chulei. Now the Gemara is going to go on to explain the pasuk. Ir ktana, there was a small city, Zaguf, this is the body. V'anashim ba'me'at, and its population was limited, small. Eloi varim, these are the limbs. Ba eleha melech gadol v'savavota, a great king came and laid siege to the city. Say Yetzer Hara, that refers to the Yetzer Hara. Uvana leha mitzodim. Now the word haramim does not appear in the pasuk. It says mitzodim gidolim. He built great ramparts or vehicles of siege around the city or traps. And that's probably why the Gemara over here is mitzodim v'haramim, which are nets and traps. Elo avonot. These are the sins. Umatza ba'ish miskein chacham. And inside that city was found a poor or impoverished individual who's very wise. Ze Yetzer Tov. That refers to the Yetzer Tov. Umilat hu et ha'ir b'chokhmato. And through his wisdom, he was able to have the city escape the siege of this great king. Zu tshuva umasim tovim. What is that chokhmah? What is that great wisdom? That is tshuva and masim tovim that allowed the individual to escape from this siege. Vadam lo zachar et ha'ish ha'miskenahu. But people did not remember this valiant individual who saved the whole city. Impoverished individual, nobody remembers. The Bishat Yitzhara, late the Mitkarlei, the Yitzhara Tov. The Yitzhara is so powerful and so great that it overwhelms the Yitzhara Tov. And in the face of the Yitzhara, many times, the Yitzhara Tov is overrun. So that's the idea or the concept in the parable that's been given in the Pasuk over here, that we have the ability to overcome the Yitzhara. The Yitzhara is big. He's like that great king that comes to lay siege to the city of the Gulf. And through sins, he tries to eradicate the city or eliminate the population of the city. But there is salvation. The salvation is through that wise, impoverished individual, which is the Yetzer HaTov, who through his Chochmah, which is the Masim Tovim and the Tshuva, allows the individual to escape. But the difficulty is that in the face of the Yetzer HaTov, many times the Yetzer HaTov is overshadowed and the person doesn't remember that he has the ability to overcome the Yetzer HaTov. The wisdom will give strength to the wise, even greater than 10 rulers. What is the wisdom that makes the wise one strong? That's tshuva masim tovim. And me'asara shalitim, over these 10 rulers, shtei naim u'shtei aznaim. The two eyes, the two ears, u'shtei yadayim, and the two arms, u'shtei raglaim, the two legs, v'rosh ha'gvia u'peh, and the member and the person's mouth. And here, this is, again, what we saw before in the Rosh, that these are the main vehicles by which an individual sins or acts. This is what makes the person that they are. But these are both the vehicles of sin as well as the vehicles of Kedusha. And they can be utilized for the works of the Yetzer Hara. They can be utilized for the works of the Yetzer HaTov. And the Chachmah Toz HaChacham. The wise person engages the Chachmah, uses his Tshuva Masim Tovim to rule over or to be greater than the Asara Shlitim, these 10 rulers or these 10 parts of our body that can lead us astray, that we can overcome that and we can master them through Tshuva Masim Tovim. Amar Rabbi Zechariah Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, B'kesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Letzi Kuhuna Mishem. Kadosh Baruch wanted to have the descendants of Kuhuna emerge from Shem, Shem being Shem ben Noach, Shenamar, because it says there, Behu Kohen the Kel Elyon. When Avram Avinu returns from the battle with the four kings, it describes Malki Tzedek, who comes to greet him, as being Kohen the Kel Elyon. Now Gemara associates Malki Tzedek with being Shem ben Noach, and over there it describes him as being the Kohen. He's the priest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kevan Shikdim Birkat Avraham Birkat HaMakom. Once he gave the bracha to Avraham, preceding the bracha that he gives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically the thanks to Avraham, for the thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzi'ah Mi'Avraham. Hashem then designated that the Kuhuna would emerge from Avraham Avinu and not from Shem. Namar Vayivarcheu Vayomar. It says over there, when Malki Tzedek comes and to greet Avraham, he says he blesses him, Yomar, Baruch Avraham Lekel Elyon, Kodesh Shemayim Varetz. Abram should be blessed to the God who owns or acquires the heavens and earth. Baruch Kel Elyon, Hashem Yigen Tzarecha, who protected you in this case. But he first blesses Abraham and then blesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Abraham, v'chi makdimin birkat eved the birkat kono? Since when do you give the bracha to the servant before the master? Miyad nitna l'Avraham. Abraham, who recognized that issue or understood what should have been done, he was the one granted the kihuna. Shneamar, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, the first pasuk in Perek Kuf Yud, Nu'um Hashem la'aduni, Hashem says to the master, Shev l'mini, sit by my right side, Adashit oivecha hadom l'raglecha, until I make your enemies into footstools. U'batrei k'tiv, and then it says in pasuk dalet over there, Nishba Hashem v'lo yinachem, Hashem swears and he will not retract it. Ata kohen le'olam, al divrati malki tzedek. You will be a kohen forever on that which was said to malki tzedek. And this is what it says here, not al divrati malki tzedek, not on what was said to malki tzedek, but al dibrosh malki tzedek, because of what malki tzedek did say. Because of what he said, that caused it that he was a kohen le'olam. Kohen Olam is Avram Avinu became a Kohen Olam because of what he said, what Malki Tzedek had said. Al Dibro Shel Malki Tzedek. Because of what he said, Avram Avinu became the Kohen. Ainu Dichtiv. That is what it's meant. V'hu Kohen the Kel Elyon. He was a Kohen, a priest to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hu Kohen, Vein Zaro Kohen. He was a Kohen, but his offspring were not a Kohen. Meaning there was a limit or a stop to his Kuhuna, which was meaning only himself was a Kohen. But in terms of descendants, the only one whose descendants would be Kohanim is Avram Avinu. Now, the Rishonim do point out over here that Avram Avinu is also a descendant of Shem ben Noach. So in the end, it is Shem ben Noach who has the Kuna emerge from him. It just comes out in a more limited form through Avram Avinu. So the Rishonim explain over here, either you have to say that not all the descendants of Shem were made into Kohanim, only a specific descendant, which is that of Avram Avinu. Or you can say that Shem did not have a Bechor, and since he didn't have a Bechor, therefore he had no natural inheritor of the Kuhuna, and that's why the Kuhuna then moved to Avram Avinu as being the one that was granted that right of the Kuhuna. Now, what's interesting over here is that Avram's recognition of what Malki Tzedek did wrong is what grants him the Kuhuna and causes Malki Tzedek to lose the Kuhuna. We know that the Kuhuna are the individuals who stand between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Kiddushin talks about whether they are Shluchei Didan, are they our messengers, are they our proxies to Hashem, or Shluchei Rachmano, are they the proxies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. But the Kohanim basically act as intermediaries between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the failure over here of Malki Tzedek to understand that the bracha be given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, and then to Avraham, was a failure that doesn't allow him, in a sense, to become a Kohen. He can't be the proper liaison between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he doesn't recognize the proper proportions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus Bnei Yisrael, and his mistaken order of the bracha actually, by definition, was posel him from being the Kohen, and also by Avram's recognition that there was a problem, that's what granted him in the end that his descendants would be Kohanim, whether that's Mamlechet Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh, that his descendants were the chosen people, or whether it means specifically Kuhuna, talking about the Kohanim themselves, that they should be the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Olam, whether at the macro level, all of Klal Yisrael, or whether at the micro level within Klal Yisrael, the Kohanim, that they understand the placement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Bnei Yisrael, and the proper relationship and relation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, that's what makes them the ones that become the Kohanim, or the Zochet, to have their descendants be the Kohanim. Okay, with that, we'll end the Perek. And we'll stop here. Hadran Allah, Arba'a Nidarim.